Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints. How are you today? This is Tafwe Nioni, and you're listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Thursday, October 23rd, and I usually do my shows on Saturday, but I have just been so inspired lately and just so full of good things that the Holy Spirit, the little nuggets that the Holy Spirit is dropping into my spirit, I can't wait till Saturday. I have to share it with you today. So I want to start doing that. If anybody knows me, you know that I'm unorthodox anyway. I don't follow the rules all the time, and I do definitely dance to the beat of a different drummer. So that's one of the things that I'd like to start doing, is that as I'm led to, just do a show and not just wait until Saturday to do that. So I'd like to continue on this theme that we started talking about last week. How do you know if God is in the driver's seat of your life? Who's in control of your life? So, and the scripture today that I'm using is Romans 1:19. And in Romans 1:19, Paul says, what can be known about God is plain to people because God shows it to them. And he shows us his majesticness in nature, basically. So it's really difficult to deny that God exists if you're looking at nature. Nature is so awesome, and it just exemplifies, you know, the reality that there is a God in this universe, regardless of what you call him. Here in the United States, we're used to referring to God as God, and other countries and other cultures recognize God as whatever is appropriate for their culture at any particular time. And we have to respect that. We're not on this earth to try to convert everybody to our mindset. God is not like that, and we tend to put him in a box. And God is, he thinks outside of the box. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. The most important thing is that these individuals are recognizing God and his attributes and exemplifying that in their lives, and that's how they reflect who God is. So we should depend on God's active communication to us in Scripture for our true knowledge of God, because God is infinite and we are finite or limited. We can never fully understand God. So how can we say God is this and only this because that's all we know about him? We can't understand who his true nature. It's impossible for any one person, culture, or religion to say, well, this is who God is, and that's it, and he's nothing else. If anybody is saying that, you need to run from that person. God is said to be incomprehensible. That is not to say that God can't be understood. We can certainly understand his ways and his characters and his attributes. But it is safe to say, though, that he cannot be fully understand or exhaustively understand. God's understanding is beyond our measure. And Psalms 147, verse 5, clearly indicates that. And let me open up to that scripture right now, because it's important for us to know that. It is important for us to know that here in America, we do not have a monotony on who God is, and Christians certainly don't either. And one of the things that I look for is not so much what a person is saying out of their mouth. I look at their lifestyle. I look at what are they saying outside of being in a religious context. You know, what kind of words are coming out of their mouth? What kind of behavior are they exemplifying? You know, you can know the Bible in and out and upside down and quote scripture all day long. But once you finish doing that and you go home, what is your life like behind those closed doors? Gives you something to think about. Check yourself. Psalms 147:5 says, God is our Lord. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. So there you have it. No one religion has a monopoly on God. The point here is that we don't always have to know what God has in mind for our lives outside the mandates to go into all the earth and preach the good news of the gospel to the earth. We get stuck in the how do I do that? I'm not some big name preacher. I'm not a television evangelist. So how do I go out and preach the good news of the gospel to all the earth? You do that where you are, in your own circle of influence. You do that by speaking love to people, because sometimes people aren't ready to hear the religious stuff, you know, because they've been so turned off by the so-called religious people who are not living the religious life. And so that turns a lot of people off. Don't come to me trying to tell me anything about the Word of God and you live in squalor. You can't pay your bills. You don't have a husband. You can't do this. You disrespecting your husband. Your kids don't respect you. You can't say nothing to me. I don't want to hear anything that you have to say about how good God is, because if he's so good to you, then your life should reflect that. So people are watching, not so much listening to what we're saying, but they're watching our behavior to make sure that it's lined up. I hate labels. I don't like to be put in a box. I don't like to be labeled a Christian. I just like to demonstrate and exemplify the Spirit of God in me. That's more important to me than being associated with some label, being called this or being called that. And so because we don't feel that we're some big-name preacher or television evangelist, we use that as an excuse not to exemplify God in our life, in our circle of influence, and on our jobs, in our communities, to our children, in our own households. So we get frustrated and put our spiritual life on hold until we go to church. Do we pray every day? No. If you don't pray every day, how can you get to know the Spirit of God in you? How can you develop that relationship if you're not praying every day? Prayer is not a difficult task. Praying is not that difficult. Prayer is a matter of always being mindful of the spiritual presence of God and acknowledging his presence every moment of every day. Simply being thankful, simply talking to God, just like you would talk to a friend. I can't tell you how many times, people have told me that, girl, I think you're crazy every time I see you, you talking to yourself. Well, you know, that's what it looks like to you. I'm not talking to myself. I am talking to God at any given moment. You might see me and my lips will be moving and you don't see anybody around. I'm acknowledging the presence of God in that moment for whatever situation that I may be going through. And I may not be going through anything difficult. I just may be thanking him for something, for my life, for my presence. I just may be so full of goodness and joy that I just want to share and express that gratitude to him. So what I start doing now, sometimes, especially when I'm driving, you know, because when you're driving and your lips are moving and they don't see anybody passenger side or in the car, people be looking. So I'll put my headset on, my telephone headset, like I'm talking to somebody, and me and God will be having a good old conversation. I'll be getting my praise on. I'll be talking to him about a situation or a meeting or praying in advance of doing something. You know, that kind of helps me with the thought that, well, I know that person looking at me thinking I'm crazy. And they do look at you. People actually break their neck looking to see, you know, when they see you talking to yourself. So the point here is that being mindful always of the presence of God and acknowledging his presence in every moment of every day. So, and when you do that, you're praying, you're talking to God, and you're communicating, and that's all he wants us to do. And when you get in the habit of doing that, when you practice doing that, it becomes second nature. So prayer does not have to be no difficult, formal, religious, traditional position or stand or behavior. You can be walking down the street and just be thankful and acknowledge, well, God, I just thank you for who you are. I bless your holy name. I just want to take a moment to lift you up, Lord, and just thank you for everything in my life right now. Lord, I'm getting ready to go into this meeting right now. I just ask you for favor. That's prayer. That is prayer. That's simple enough. So, and that's having deliberate conversations with the Spirit of God. So you're making a concerted effort to come into the presence of God. And we can be speaking to, and God is universal. Again, he's not just limited to us right here in the United States. He is a universal God. So, and when I really need, like I said, when I really need to engage in a conversation with God in a public place, or when I go on meditative walks, and I have to do that sometimes. I have to get away from my desk sometimes because I work, and a lot of you work in very hectic, stressful positions. And we have to take time out to just reflect and get back and to make that spiritual connection, to get that spiritual strength to make it through that work day. And what I started doing on, because I hope that, well, I think that most of us have Microsoft Outlook or some kind of scheduling or calendar on our computers at work. So I just set aside two times, once in the morning and once in the afternoon, to automatically remind me, and I call it taking my meditation break. So when that little reminder pops up at 10 o'clock to go take my meditative break, I don't care what I'm doing, I will stop and go into my little private area and study, because I'm working on a couple of lessons. So that's my time during the morning to do that. Or if I don't want to work on my lessons, the workshop that I'm putting together, I'll just take that break and go and just pray and thank the Lord and just reflect or talk to him about a situation that I'm going through. And yes, Jesus is on the main line, and I'm talking to him to get advice. So in Jeremiah 9:23-24, it talks about the fact that we do know God. I should have had this marked. I'm sorry. It talks about the fact that we do know God himself is further demonstrated by the realization that the richness of the Christian life includes a personal relationship with God. We speak to God in prayer, and he speaks to us through his word. We commune with him in his presence. We sing his praise, and we are aware that he personally dwells among us and within us to bless us, and that's from John 14:23. I'd like to pose these questions to you, and I want you to respond back to me. I want you to email me with your answers to these questions. And I'm talking to those who are going into the archives and downloading the broadcasts. You're kind of under the radar, so I don't know who you are. But I would appreciate it if you do that, if you download a broadcast, to leave a comment so I can acknowledge you and I know that some real person is out there actually listening to the broadcast, because in the archives it's just showing hundreds of people are downloading the broadcast, but I'm not getting any feedback from you. So hopefully if you download these broadcasts and you listen to this, that you'll email me and answer the questions that I'm about to pose to you. Because I'd like to find out your thoughts on these issues, and then hopefully we'll discuss them on another segment. So what do you think, why do you think that God decided to reveal himself to us? I want you to answer that question. Why do you think God decided to reveal himself to us? Would you call your present relationship with God a personal relationship? And how is that relationship similar with other people's relationship that you have, and how is it different? And what would make your relationship with God better? So send me an email with the answer to these questions, and the ones that I receive an email response to, I will discuss them on another segment of the show. So make sure you leave your contact information, because I'll call you up and have you on the show, and we can discuss your answers to those questions. And again, the questions are, why do you think God decided to reveal himself to us? And what would you call your present relationship? Would you call your present relationship with God a personal relationship? And how is it similar to or different than other relationships that you have with people? And what, and this is the most important one that I'd like to put out there, what would make your relationship with God better? So send me an email to womeninthelord@yahoo.com. And again, I'll select your question, and I'll call you up, and we'll discuss it on another broadcast. So you may be driving down the highway of your life and thinking that you've got it all together, you're starring in and directing your own show. If that is the case, then I question if you're truly surrendering your life to the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit. I've seen too many people talk to talk, sound so profound with their spiritual knowledge, but their life is in shambles and their families are a wreck. Why? Because God is not piloting the physical vessel. They are not yielded vessels fit for the Master's use. They have not disciplined their lives to the extent that they trust God with all their heart and soul and lean not on their own understanding. The only time they acknowledge him is when they run up against the wall. You know, and you've seen people like that. Oh, Lord, help me out of this situation. Help me out of this situation, and I won't do it again. Once God gets them out of that situation, they're right back, you know, into that or something worse. So that's a person who's using God, in other words. You know, God is not in control of that person's life. They may go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, and know the Bible upside down. But if their behavior isn't lining up with the characteristics and the attributes of God, I'd be really concerned about that person's commitment. How can God be in control of your life when you don't spend time with him, developing the relationship? You don't spend time in solitude. Our fear of being alone drives us to the noise and the crowds. Teresa of Avila said, "Settle yourself in solitude, and you will come upon him in yourself." Solitude is more a state of mind and heart than it is a place. Inward solitude has outward manifestations. And let me repeat that. Inward solitude has outward manifestations. There is freedom in being alone, not in order to be away from people, but in order to hear the divine whisper better. You want to hear the voice of God? You have to spend time alone listening for it, that still, small voice that's inside of each and every one of us. And I've said that last week, and I'll say it again. The more you tune in, the more you listen to that voice and hear it and follow it, the louder it becomes. And Christ was a perfect example of this. Christ went into the wilderness 40 days in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. It talks about that. Before he chose his disciples, he spent the entire night alone. Remember when he received the news that John the Baptist was beheaded? What did he do? He withdrew to a lonely place. And that's in Matthew 14:13. And after he fed the 5,000 people, what did he do? He went away by himself. He went up into the hills by himself. So if Christ did that, and Christ was a prototype, Christ exemplified the life that we have to live on this earth. Christ spent time alone, fellowshipping with God, talking to God. He went through things he didn't understand. What did he do? He left everybody, and he went to spend time with God to hear from his Father. So if you're not spending time alone to hear the voice of God, first and foremost, then most likely God is not in the driver's seat of your life. So take time to get to know God. And if you don't know him, or if you haven't accepted him as your Savior, I invite you now to do so. Become a part of the God Squad simply by following the guidelines that are outlined for us in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus is Savior and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's easy. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That was painless. And I hope that if you said those words, I want to hear from you. Let me hear from you. If you said those words and accepted Christ into your life, then you're saved. And I have a love gift for you, and I want you to email me at womeninthelord@yahoo.com. I have about 9 minutes left on the show, but I want to read something to you from a book that I've been studying. And it talks about developing your faith to follow the Spirit. It is amazing to me how many Christians who have been taught about faith in the Word of God have so little faith in their ability to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They have great faith in other areas. Ask them, for example, if God will get them to heaven when they die, and they'll answer confidently, faith-filled, yes. Ask them if he'll heal them or prosper them or deliver them from trouble, yes, they'll say. But ask them if he'll speak to them and reveal exactly how they need to pray about a certain situation, and they'll say, well, you know, I just never been able to hear the voice of God that clearly. Why is that? Because they haven't developed their faith in that area. I discovered early in my Christian life that if I wanted to develop faith for healing, I had to spend time reading and meditating on what God's Word said about healing. If I wanted to develop faith for finances, I had to spend time on scriptures about prosperity. And if I wanted to develop faith to flow in the Holy Spirit, I had to focus my attention on what God's Word said about the operation of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's why I spent untold hours since 1972 reading and studying what Jesus said to the disciples in John 14 through 16. I found that the more I would feed on his promises about the Spirit, the more my prayer life would develop. Even now, after these years, I still read about the work of the Holy Spirit almost every day because I want to continually be aware of him. Have you ever heard the phrase, out of sight, out of mind? The reverse of that is also true. Whatever you keep before your eyes, whatever you focus your attention upon spiritually, will be an active force in your life. Of course, many Christians already know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. They can quote scriptures. They can even teach them to others. But because they haven't released faith, expecting those scriptural truths to be manifested in their lives, their knowledge hasn't helped them much. If that's been your experience, as we examine those scriptures again through the next few pages, I urge you to take a fresh look at them. Don't just read them for the information. Receive them as living promises from God himself to you. Spend time thinking about them, confessing them, and acting upon them in prayer. As Colossians 3:16, the King James Version says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and dare to believe what the Bible says the Holy Spirit will do, he will do in you. And that's from a book, The Master is Calling, by Lynn Hammond. And that, oh man, that just hit the nail right on the head for me. And that just confirms what I was saying. You know, and one of the things that I'd like to reiterate about what she said about her studying practice, she studied the Word of God, we also have other resources that we can utilize. Yes, the Bible is definitely our foundation, and that's what we use initially to gain an understanding. However, there are other study aids that we need to use to complement what we study and read in the Bible. So, again, I encourage you to just stay in the Word of God no matter what. Start out for the beginners, for the people who just got saved today. If you don't have a Bible and you need a Bible, email me and let me know that, and I will send you a Bible. For those mature saints who are past drinking milk, okay, you've been in this thing for 3, 4, 5 years, and even longer than that, okay, it's time to stop talking the talk. You have to walk. You're an ambassador for Christ, and you have to act accordingly. One of the things that I'm realizing, and I'm really, really studying Christ's life on this earth and what he exemplified and what he was teaching us, one of the things that that we need to do is get the sin out of our lives. Okay? I'm going to say that again. You have to get the sin out of your life. You have to make a deliberate effort to stop sinning. Sin could be overt. Sin could be subtle. It could be a subtle sin. You know what you're doing. You know the things that you're saying. You know the thoughts that you have. You know what you're doing behind closed doors. You know what you're doing behind somebody else's doors. Okay? Focus on cleaning up your life. God can only do so much with you where you are, because the Word of God is not going to return void. If you really want to experience the fullness of the power that God has given you for your life, if you truly want to overcome certain areas and restrictions and limitations in your life, this is no joke. We have to begin to live a holy life. Forget about being labeled a Christian and acting that way in front of other people. I'm talking about when you're in your alone time, when you're out there doing your own thing. We all come out of something. Okay, we all come out of, the Christians say coming out of the world. Honey, you come out of the world when you're dead. Okay, then you go somewhere else. But in the world, you have to deal with the sins. You're coming out of the street. Okay, we're coming out of that street life. Okay, those habits that we picked up in the streets when we were hanging out, those are the things that we need to let go of. Those are the attitudes that we need to get rid of. We can't come into the kingdom of God with those street mentalities. We have got to change. Change is inevitable, and if you don't change, then you stay stuck in that same rut with that same old mentality. You're putting old wine, you're trying to put that old smelly MD 2020, that Swiss up, that old wine into a new bottle, and it don't work, it don't fit. So if you don't make deliberate efforts to change your old ways, then you're just going around in a circle. You're beating your head up against the wall and wondering why this thing doesn't work. So those are the issues that you need to deal with, that I had to deal with and still have to deal with, because the temptation is always going to be there. But the more we resist those temptations, the stronger that we're going to become. The Word tells us that in the world we will have tribulations, but don't worry about it. Why? Because He's overcome. Christ has exemplified it. He's overcome. We have overcome. Read the book. We win in the end. We just have to endure and not yield to those temptations. So that's the lesson for today, but I want to take a moment to also say that we have about 12 days left on one of the most historic presidential elections of our time. I hope that you take advantage of the opportunity to go and vote early. Here in North Carolina, you can still register to vote at the one-stop voting polls, and you have to vote at the same time. If you think you've missed it on October 10th, you still have from now until November 1st to go register to vote and vote. Vote early, because we don't know what's going to happen when it comes to November 4th. So I'm telling everybody, I've already gone and vote. So do take advantage of this opportunity for one-stop early voting and get out and vote now. Vote today. And also, again, if you haven't registered to vote yet, you can still do that at the early voting places. This is Tafwe Nioni. I thank you so much for listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. Stay.
time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movies and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know. Help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. I'm able.